بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد The beliefs regarding the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Belief number 9. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of the total count. The first of the Anbiya alayhi salam was Adam alayhi salam. And the final of these messengers was Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The remainder had been sent between these two. Some of them are the famous, amongst the famous ones are Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Ayyub alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, Zakariya alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Al-Yasa alayhi salam, Yunus alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, Idris alayhi salam, Zulkifl alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, and Shu'aib alayhi salam. Number 10, Adam alayhi salatu wa salam was created by Allah Ta'ala in Jannah from sand without the agency of human parents. He was the first man. He had no mother and no father. His wife Hazrat Hawa radiallahu anha was created from his Rabb. All human beings are from their progeny. Man appeared on earth in a state of spiritual, moral, intellectual and physical perfection. Man is not the product of any evolutionary process which regards apes as the ancestors of men. To believe in Darwin's theory of evolution will cause a person to lose his iman. Number 11, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was created without the agency of a human father. He was miraculously born of Maryam radiallahu anha. He has not as yet died a physical death. He was raised bodily in the physical state, in wakefulness into the heavens, where he is to this day. He will again descend to earth prior to Qiyamah. His prime mission will be to slay the Dajjal. He will live on earth for a period and then die a physical death. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was not the son of God or God. There are many reasons why Isa alayhi salam cannot be God or the son of God, as Christians believe. A few are. Number 1, he was born of a mother. If being born of a single parent is a sign of being the son of God, then Adam alayhi salatu wasalam will have a far greater right to be called the son of God, as he was born without parents. Number 2, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam used to eat and drink. This is a proof of need and want, which Allah Ta'ala is completely free from. And number 3, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam himself supplicated to and worshipped another being. If he was a god, why did he supplicate to and worship another being? Or was he supplicating and worshipping himself? And number 12, the actual proof of a Nabi is his being, his qualities and teachings. Intelligent people will easily believe after seeing this. For the general masses who are affected by outward signs, Allah Ta'ala manifested on their hands such astounding feats, which were beyond the power and ability of men. These feats are called mu'ajizah, miracles. To save people from making an error, Allah Ta'ala will not allow any false claimant to Nabuwat to be able to perform any extraordinary actions. Yes, if a person lays claim to divinity, if a person says he is Allah, he will be allowed to perform supernatural actions, as his claim is obviously absurd. These miracles are not within the control of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. When Allah Ta'ala wished, he would enact it on their hands. One must believe in those miracles established in the Quran as they are, and not make fanciful interpretations. Example, the fire of Ibrahim alayhi salam turning into a garden, the miracle of bringing to life the dead by Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are exactly as they are. We have to believe in them, and not we try to interpret it and say maybe they got this meaning or that meaning. It's not a real meaning. There are many examples of this here, where unfortunately some modern people, they try to interpret the miracles of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to say these are possible within science, whereas these things go completely against science. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 8th para was recited. In the beginning of this para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the mukhalafat, the people opposing the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. All, and they came to them with funny, foolish things, and they asked them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are so stubborn, some of these people, that no matter what signs you bring to them, they won't be prepared to accept, because majority of them, they act on jahalat, on ignorance, and foolish ways. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the system of Allah Ta'ala, Allah made it in the world. There will be some people who will be on right and guide the people towards right, and some people on evil, شياطين الإنس والجن, human beings in the form of shaitan also, and jinn in the form of shaitan. They will guide people and misguide people, and there will be pious people who will guide the people towards the righteous path. Allah has made the system, so no person is forced to accept Iman and Islam. But happily a person must obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the system which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made in the world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not look at the majority. If you have to follow majority on the earth, they will turn you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are only following their desires. One example of this Allah ta'ala gives here is about meat. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made meat, animals, Allah has given them life, so they are sacred. And they cannot just be killed like that, but only in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certain animals also, and they have to be killed in a sanctified manner. In a certain manner they must be killed. So Allah ta'ala has mentioned, now here, that these are certain rules. Allah's name must be taken upon them. How can a person eat something in which Allah's name is not taken upon? So a person has to, and there's a certain way also to slaughter animals. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this. So those people who just cut animals and kill animals as they want to, they are actually, يُذِلُّونَ بِأَهْوَائِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. They are following their desires, they don't have knowledge, and they are exceeding the bounds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is one sin, which is outward and inward also. Outwardly they are doing wrong, and inwardly they are following their desires. So وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. Leave out the desire, outward gunas and inside gunas. From here also our Kabir mentioned, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah has actually got one whole kitab on this year, the inward and the outward, to show that the gunas and sins, inward sins that we know is wrong also. But many people say, my inside is okay, it's just the outside. You don't know what's in my heart. So this is completely incorrect, because Allah said, leave out the outward gunas also, the outward sins, and leave out the inward sins. So many people, the outside, example, a person shaves his beard, cuts his beard, or a woman cuts her hair, and then they say, don't judge me. You know, we are actually commanded by the Shariat, you have to judge a person according to the outward. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, we leave the inward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's in your heart, we leave it to Allah. But we have to judge on the outside. So example, a person cuts his beard now, and he wants to perform salat, we tell him, you're a fasik, according to the Shariat, you cannot perform salat. What's inside in your heart, what Allah will deal with you on the day of Qiyamah is a different story. We can't judge on that day. We don't know what will happen to you in the year after. But in this worldly life, we are commanded to follow the Shariat, the outward, what a person does. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi also in Riyadu Salihin has got a whole chapter on this, that we are mukallaf, we are bound by the outward of a person. And we do not know what is the inside of a person. That Sahabi, he came by a kafir, and that kafir said, La ilaha illallah. And then he killed him. And then Nabi alayhi salam became very upset with him, Usama radiallahu anhu. And then he said, oh Nabi of Allah, he just said it to save his life. So Nabi alayhi salam said, you don't know what's inside his heart. You have to make amal on the outward. You should have made an outward. He took La ilaha illallah. You must believe what he says. So we must look on the outside of a person. We judge according to the outside, and not on the inside. Yes, we do not know in the year after exactly. That's why Hazrat said yesterday, we can't look down upon a person, because we do not know the final result, what will happen, who is accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala or not. That we do not know. But we have to judge. The Qadi will pass according to the judgment. If two people come forward, they claim something, this is how the Qadi will. He will make his decisions. He will pass the decision in the court. But the final result, what is the reality, this is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if a person wants to accept, if Allah wants to guide a person, Allah will open up his heart towards Islam. And on the other hand, a person who Allah misguides, and a person's heart will become tight, and it will be difficult for a person to accept. And the three signs ulama have mentioned to know whether a person's heart is open up for Islam. The one sign is that a person, at-tajafi an daril ghurur, returns away from his house of deception, and he understands that this world is a world of deception, so he turns away from it. Wal inabatu ila daril khulud, and a person is inclined towards the everlasting life, the house which will remain forever and forever, the Jannat. And number three, al-isti'adadu lil-maut qabla nuzulihi. He starts preparing for death before the coming down of death, before death occurs. Now you know a person, Allah has opened up that person's heart, and now a person has got Islam, the nur of Islam has entered his heart when these three signs are found in a person. Anyhow, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that many people in the past came and they started following their own desires, and he gives examples of this here, certain plants and certain animals. They made taqseem, they divided it. One is for Allah, one is for us. And all of this was from their own desires. So this is completely incorrect. Whatever we have to follow is wahi and revelation. Allah says, I'm the one who created all of this. I created the plants, I created the animals. All is my creation. So exactly I want to give commands, I give commands regarding it. You do not make up your own laws regarding them and your own customs. And many people, if you ask them, where have you got this from? They say, no, our forefathers, we learnt it from. And many customs also we find amongst in our marriages, in our funerals, our forefathers taught it to us. But what is the proof for it? Our deen is based on Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So whatever you are saying, you have to have a proof for it that where has this come from. Don't just make up things from our own side, because we have to follow the way of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever, there are many things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, it is only for our benefit. You can't make it from your own side. But whatever Allah Ta'ala has made haram upon a person or permissible, this is haram or is permissible. And whatever was made haram was is a benefit for us. But in the Bani Israel, as we had mentioned before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made some things haram upon them, because of the gunas and the sins and the oppression which they had done, wrong things. But for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever was made haram was only for our benefit. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the 10 commandments which had come in the Torah also, and which is mentioned in the Quran Sharif also. And the first and most important is, so here Allah is mentioning, this is what my commands are. Not what you have made up and from your mind what you have got. But these are my commandments. For example, don't ever make shirk. Take partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one. And then wabil walidayni ihsana. Number two, immediately after, wherever Allah has mentioned his right, then he's mentioned the rights of parents, to show the great importance of the rights of parents. And many of these commands, Allah has mentioned, la, la, do not do this here. But when it came to parents, Allah mentioned it in a positive. وَبِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. So Allah Ta'ala didn't say, don't make zulam on your parents, don't be disobedient. Allah said, make ihsan, be kind to your parents. That is, ulama say, Hazrat Ramazrat, that you get three levels. One is zulam and oppression. That's completely, you can't even do it with any normal human being. To your parents is the worst crime. If a person has to make zulam on them, there is a fear of, definitely in the hadith it says, punishment will come upon a person in this worldly life before he leaves this world. A person who is disrespectful to his parents, who makes oppression on his parents. Then adl and justice is wajib, is compulsory for other people, other human beings. But for one's parents, even adl is not. If a person is adl with them, he is just with them, then this is also a sin. Because the command here is wajib for a person to make ihsan to his parents. Ihsan means that when the parents will do wrong to a person, then a person does right to them. Even if they do wrong to him, Nabi alayhi salam said, wa in zalamaka, even if they oppress you, you must fulfill the rights of your parents. Allah give us tawfiq. Parents are a very great bounty, whether they are living or they have passed away, to have that love and respect and make dua for them. It's our duty. Ulama say, minimum 5 times a day we must make dua for our parents. Because the right of Allah is 5 times in a day, that you must read 5 times salat. So the minimum is 5 times a day we must make dua for them. The bare dua is, Rabbi rahmhuma kama rabbayani saghira. It's famous also about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi in his salat. Because you fulfill the right of Allah Ta'ala at the end of namaz before making salam. Allahumma khfir li wa li walidayya wa li ustadi wa li jami' al mu'minina. So fulfilling, oh Allah, forgive my parents and my ustad and all the believing people. So he would make this dua in salat. So anyhow, this is the second command Allah has given. Number three, do not kill your children due to poverty. Because we are the ones who are giving you sustenance and we are giving them sustenance. So because you are going through some difficult times, the person kills his children. In today's time, because of the abortion, a person kills his child because of poverty, his fear of poverty. So Allah Ta'ala says, do not ever kill your children. And some ulama have mentioned, Manul Ahmad Lahori Rahmatullah Ali says, that some people kill their children physically. He says, but those people who kill their children physically because of the fear of poverty, at least those children will go to Jannah. If they bury them alive, or they abort them or whatever, but they will eventually go to Jannah. But there are many people who kill their children spiritually. That is because of the fear of poverty, they don't give them Islamic teachings, and they only give them Western education. So education, just for their money, for the dunya. So actually he says, you are killing your child because of the fear of poverty. And Allah says, we are the one who will give you sustenance, we will give them sustenance also. He says, but here when you kill them for the fear of poverty, you are actually putting them in the fire of Jahannam. You are destroying the akhirat also. Yeah, the other parents kill their children only physically, but they send them to Jannah. Yeah, you are killing your children, but you are sending them to the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. Then Allah says, do not come close towards immorality, whether it's outward also or inside also. Do not have immorality. Do not kill any human being unless Allah Ta'ala has given permission. Then Allah says that the wealth of the orphan, money, you must be very particular, especially the wealth of the orphan, and you only have to fulfill the rights properly. And then your business dealings and transactions, awful kayla wal mizana bil qist, be fair and just. Do not deceive and cheat anybody. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you speak, be very particular how you speak. Don't speak lies. Be fair and just how a person speaks. And be just, even ulokan of the qurba, even if it's a family member, you have to have justice within yourself. Wabi ahadillahi awfu, and fulfill the text and promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَإِنَّ هَذَا سُرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. This is my path, which is straight. So follow this path. Do not follow any other path besides this. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, we had given him the kitab, and his people understood. They're supposed to have seen this kitab. The Quran Sharif is exactly the same, like that kitab, full of barakat and blessings. So people of the kitab, also follow the Quran Sharif. You will be rightly guided. You Allah will have mercy upon you. Some of the excuses they have made, Allah Ta'ala mentions this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, look at the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was on the straight path. He wasn't a mushrik. And everything was for the pleasure of Allah. Inna salati wa nusuki. My salat and my living and my ibadat and my living and my dying. Everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this must become the object of our life. Everything of ours must become for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must become a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I'm not a servant of Allah ta'ala, then obviously I am a servant of shaitan. Allah said, I've made you my khalifa on the earth. The vicegerent of Allah ta'ala on the earth. And this is an examination. Allah ta'ala wants to shower his mercy and forgiveness on people. On the other hand, Allah is very severe in punishing also, very quick in punishing. Very quickly he can punish a person, those who will not fulfill the duty and responsibilities which Allah had given them. In the next surah, Surah Araf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now mentions that there are many, that Allah has given all the commands. Now you understand there are commands. But O Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we have not sent this kitab down to make life difficult for you people. Follow it, you will be successful. There are many people in the past who came and they were destroyed because they did not follow the Quran Sharif and the teachings of the Quran Sharif. If you don't see the effects of it in this world, you will definitely see it on the day of Qiyamah. Allah has got the mizan, the scales, and whoever scales are heavy, they will be successful. Whoever scales are light, they are the ones who will be in complete destruction. So this is an examination Allah Ta'ala has tested. And the first time this happened, Allah has got the full right because He created us. He can do. Allah said, I created you and I made all the bounties for you and I gave you a form. And the first, if you look back in history, the first human being which came in the world was Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Iblis was before him, and Iblis was not prepared to accept Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He had this pride and arrogance within himself. So when Allah Ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah is showing us that why do people follow their desires? Because it is of shaitan. So anyhow, Allah Ta'ala says that shaitan refused to make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. It was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he started justifying himself. And he said, Allah, you created me from fire, you created me from sand. Allah said, go from here, you're not prepared to accept my commands. You're justifying your actions and you are saying, I'm better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And shaitan was so disrespectful because of pride. He said, Bima akhwaitani, Allah, you made me misguided. So I will show you, I will misguide human beings, I will take them away from the straight path. And I will attack them from all ways, from the left, from front, back, right and left hand side. And you won't find most of them having the quality of shukr. Dr. Abdullah Arifi Rahmatullah Ali used to say that this quality of shukr is so great that it will protect a person from all the attacks of shaitan. Because shaitan said, I will attack them from all different directions, but if they got the quality of shukr, you won't find they will be able to, you won't find them making shukr. So it shows that a person has the quality of shukr within himself. Thanks and gratitude. He will be able to save himself from many, many attacks of shaitan. Anyhow, shaitan, then because he was banished now, he was jealous and he was upset. And Allah Ta'ala told Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, you and your wife live in Jannah for a while, eat from the fruits there, but do not go close to a certain thing. Allah had given him knowledge, and Allah had given him the ability to differentiate between right and wrong. But shaitan came, and he took a qasam in the name of Allah that you will become an angel, or you will live forever and forever. And every human being by nature wants to live forever. You like to be have angelic qualities. So, and Adam alayhi salam never expected a person to speak lies, taking a qasam in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He took a qasam. فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. So he brought them down with deception. So Adam alayhi salam made an error. He was deceived by shaitan. He forgot the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that moment. And they ate the fruits, which they were not supposed to eat. Food has an effect upon a person. So when the effect of this fruit was, that their private parts became exposed. So shaitan knows exactly. So swine, for example, and many of these foods, if a person eats it, it has an effect. Morals are removed from a person. That's why our food is very important. So immediately they ate the fruit. This had an effect on the clothing. The clothing was removed and the private parts became exposed. As human beings by nature, they started covering themselves. And Allah Ta'ala said, didn't I tell you, don't eat from the tree? It'll have an effect upon you. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he wasn't like shaitan. Shaitan, he had pride and arrogance in himself. When Allah Ta'ala told him, he justified his action. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made a mistake, immediately he made tawbah. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah forgive me, I made a mistake. Allah Ta'ala said, go in the world, but remember shaitan is going to be your enemy. He's going to try to attack you also. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one amazing thing in this surah is, only place in the Quran, four places Allah Ta'ala addresses, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, not Muslims, kafir, but O Bani Adam, the children of Adam. And in three of those four ayats, Allah Ta'ala speaks about clothing. Clothing a person wears. But أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسَ يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ. We have sent down upon you clothing which will cover your private parts. And warisha and clothing is a means of beautification for a person. So this is the two objects of clothing, to cover one's private parts and to beautify a person. So therefore we have to be very particular about our clothing, the kind of clothing we are wearing. The ulama mentioned that when a person covers himself, one is that some people don't cover themselves properly. Example, the arms are left open. For the ladies, example, the legs are left open. Or a person's sitter is not covered. A man also, he doesn't cover his sitter from navel to the knees. So this is the one level. Then the second important thing is that the clothing must not be tight-fitted on the body. Sometimes a person is covering his sitter, but the clothing is so tight-fitted on the body that a person can actually, you can see the shape of the body. Or sometimes you can actually see through the clothing. It's like see-through. So this is also not permissible. A person is covered the whole body. This is also a kind of nakedness. Nabi alayhi salam said there are two groups of people. They will be wearing clothing, but they will be naked. So this is the meaning the ulama have given. They are wearing clothing, but it's see-through. So they are also naked. And the third one, as I mentioned, is you're wearing it so tight-fitted on the body. And this, unfortunately, many of our pious people nowadays, the women folk also, they're wearing abayas and cloaks. They're wearing those kind of dresses. But they wear the clothing so tight-fitted on the body that the person can see the exact shape of the body. Whereas clothing supposed to have been loose-fitted on the body. Even at home, even if there's only mahrams around you, still too, it's very important a person must wear very modest clothing. Just think, this clothing I'm wearing, well, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha have worn it. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha have worn it. A person wearing jeans, a person wearing a tight-fitted t-shirt. And then many youngsters, they say that my mother, I get turned on by my mother also. I get turned on with my sister. A father gets affected by his daughter. And this leads to incest, it leads to what in what sense. So the dressing also has a very great effect. So besides the husband and wife when they are together or something, even normal times when a woman is dressing, she must be dressed in a very appropriate way, clothing of haya. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. The clothing of taqwa. And is a person, I'm wearing a clothing of the muttaqeen, of the pious people. This is the best kind of clothing. أَسْمَعُ لَمَاسِي لِبَاسُ أَهْلِ التَّقْوَى. The clothing of the people of taqwa. This is the best. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى in your heart. You've got the quality of taqwa. I have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. So a person is particular about his clothing. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. You have to be particular. And Allah says also your clothing, very important when you come to the masjid. You are performing salat also, then wear the best kind of clothing. Don't wear such kind of clothing which is a low kind of clothing, which you won't go in front of other people. But you are coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so be decently dressed. Even if you are performing salat at home, you are reading tahajjud namaz, there's nobody there, a person is wearing his pyjamas and he's performing his salat. No. You are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you won't go in front of a minister, honorable person in your town in that kind of clothing. How can you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that kind of clothing? So even our clothing at home when we are performing our salat, a person must wear decent clothing because we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who has made haram all the beautiful things which Allah has given, whether it's clothing, whether it's wonderful sustenance, eat and benefit. Yes, Allah ta'ala has made certain things haram. Immorality Allah has made haram. And sins and zulam and oppression, taking partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of the, and saying things which a person doesn't know, just passing his own decisions. These are the things which Allah Ta'ala has made haram. And Allah Ta'ala mentions now the final result. Those who are not prepared to accept it, they will have to go in the fire of Jahannam. And especially those who do disbelieve, they can't enter into Jannah at all until a camel goes through the hole of a needle, which is something impossible. So they will never ever enter into Jannah. On the other hand, the people of Iman, they will be granted the highest levels of Jannah, and they will praise and thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for these great bounties. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions about that on the day of Qiyamah, or the discussion they will be having, the people of Jannah and the people of the fire. And the people of the fire, the people of Jannah will say, what Allah promised us, we found it to be true. Have you found what you, Allah, your Rabb has promised you to be true? And the people of Jahannam will say, yes, we found it. And then the people of Jahannam will ask the people of Jannah, please give us a little bit of water or some rosy and sustenance which Allah has given to you people. So Allah has made it haram for the kuffar and disbelievers who took their deen as a pastime and as a play. And this worldly life deceived them. Allah not make us among those people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people of Araf. One group will be in the middle and they will be seeing the both sides there because the actions were equal. They had exact equal actions. So they will be able to see both sides. Eventually Allah ta'ala through His mercy will forgive them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that His qudrat and power is above everything. How Allah created the heavens and the earth and all the winds Allah sends and the rains Allah ta'ala sends. Allah is giving us an example here that there are certain people, the wahi and revelation is coming down. It depends on your heart. If your heart is open, you will take the land which is open, the plantations will come out. And there are certain lands which are completely dead. The water comes down, but it doesn't benefit that land at all. The water just flows away. So what kind of heart do you have? If you open up your heart, then Allah Ta'ala, that wahi and revelation will affect that heart. If a person sits with an open heart. And if a person comes with a closed heart, then no matter how much of a revelation comes in front of a person, he will not be prepared to accept. And sometimes it will make him even worse. So then Allah Ta'ala gives the examples of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam of the past, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, and Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, and Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. They went to their people and they called them towards righteousness. Those who accepted were successful, and those who went against the way of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they were completely at loss. Ya Allah Ta'ala mentions these incidents because to give tasalli and console Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, your people are also very hard against you. Don't worry. Look at the past Anbiya alayhi salam. So to strengthen the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and lessons for us that, oh people of Iman, be follow the way of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in the age of success. As the people of the past, whoever followed them was successful, and who didn't follow them, even in dunya, they lost out eventually. The final result was the complete loss, and in the year after, they were completely in destruction. So Allah has made two paths, very, very straightforward and simple. The path of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the path of Allah Ta'ala, and the path of shaitan. Person choose the right path, he will be successful in this world and the year after. Allah Ta'ala give us true understanding.